It's good to see you all. When they first started the service, I looked around and you must have come in at the last minute because I thought, well, surely they must have heard I was speaking today. But it is good to see you. Well, last Saturday night, the elders and wives got together to discuss ways that we could improve our service to you folks. We do this, we try to do this once a month and kind of hash over what we feel that needs to be done and how we could improve. And one of the things that, one of the methods that we will be using here in the near future is it's a speaker's evaluation form that is being put together by Bob Ashland that the elders will use to evaluate each other's message for content, for clarity, delivery, and effectiveness, and also the timeliness of a message. And there'll be a few other points that they will include on that. But all of this is to sharpen our skills so that we can be of greater service to you. And I can relax because that's not being used today. One of the other things that came up in our discussion, and it wasn't just last Saturday night, but we talk about this from time to time, was realizing that some of our members are having difficulty moving forward spiritually in their life due to hurtful life experiences and from some of the choices that they have made. Now, we know that some are hurting and are down on themselves, which is kind of a common thing these days, but we want you to know that we're aware that people are hurting and that they have problems and that we're concerned about that. One of the things that makes it a little bit difficult for us is that if you don't come to us, sometimes if we try to go to you, that there might be an offense made, and we don't want to do that. You know, there is a thing about boundaries, and we respect that. And but we want you to know that we're always available, that whatever problem that you might be having, that you feel free to come to us and to offload some of the stuff that you've been packing around for a long time. And we want you to know that there is a way to get past the roadblock that's in your path and that's keeping you from achieving happy relationships and from moving forward in your spiritual life and also in other areas of your life. Now, I read a comment someone made somewhere that might help shed some light on why we are the way that we are, and you'll recognize this one. It is, you create your own reality, which is the truth. It really is, for that is exactly what we do. But perhaps some of you would appreciate it more the way it is found in Proverbs 23 and verse 7 that says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." Which also is the truth. Because understanding both statements helps to explain why so many people are having trials and difficulties in their lives today. So this afternoon, we're going to look at several areas in our understanding that could be contributing to why some are stalled in their spiritual walk. I believe that most of us can agree that insecurity and self-rejection are in epidemic proportions in our society today. Really, all you have to do is look around. And sometimes you don't have to look very far because all you have to do is look in your own life. Now, our church and all the other churches that are out there are no exception, because there's so many professing Christians, and that's us and those that profess to be Christians out there, simply don't like themselves. They're hard on themselves. And some withdraw and they isolate. Now, they really don't want to be alone because they're lonely. It's just that they've been hurt so much in the past that they don't want to be hurt anymore. And then there's other folks that feel that they have to perform in particular ways to get God's approval. Now, some of you that were around 30 and 40 years ago can remember this, the treadmill that we were on. Each week there was Bible study, spokesman's club, choir practice. Practically every Sunday was a moving crew. Yeah, we had two moving crews. You people couldn't sit still. We had to move you someplace. And if for some reason we were not involved in all of that, we were looked upon as if there was something wrong with us. And so it was common to think that somehow it was necessary to do all these things to get God's approval. And I can sure tell you, back at that time, you had to do all those things to get the pastor's approval. We were caught in a performance trap without realizing it. And then if we were going to move forward and make progress in our spiritual walk, then it was up to us. And as a result, many members who are no longer with us today experienced a level of frustration because they weren't getting anywhere spiritually. Their lives were in the pits, and they got down on themselves, and every time that they made a mistake, it just they beat themselves up. Now, I personally believe that these people, and I know many of them, were earnest in their spiritual life. They prayed. I believe that they studied Scripture and were involved in church involvement and the like, but what they and some people that are hearing my voice at this moment have found, that doing all those things don't improve the quality of their life. Many got discouraged. They languished, and then they finally packed it in and left because they mistakenly believed that God didn't care. That for whatever reason, God didn't hear their prayers. And I know that there are some here that are wondering the same thing. For some of you, your life isn't working. You wonder, well, where is the peace and the joy and the happiness that Scripture talks about? Because you're certainly not experiencing any of it in your life. And one of the reasons for this mindset is that we don't have a proper understanding of our righteous identity in Christ. We're trying to change ourselves in our own strength and in our own abilities, which will bring on frustration and unhappiness. In our humanity, we show impatience with ourselves. This is common. It's also common that we have impatience with one another. Somehow expecting our bad habits and wrong way of living that has taken years to develop to somehow be fixed in a relatively short period of time. And I think that we are beginning to understand that it doesn't work that way. Because you see, our walk with Christ should be one of delight and great anticipation of discovery and gratitude as we come to see ourselves in light of God's Word. A part of the formula for us to experience true freedom, peace, and happiness and grow in our relationship with God and with one another is to learn to accept ourselves where we are, as we are, and the way we see ourselves, the way God sees us. When we do this, we will begin to understand that becoming like Christ is a process that takes time. And that if we will simply cut ourselves a little bit of slack and hang in there, that God will be faithful to finish the good work that He has begun. Now, you're familiar with the verse in Philippians 1 and verse 6 that says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." And you can bank on that because that's a promise. If you would please, next, turn with me to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2 and verse 8 and 9. Very familiar scripture. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." And I hope that we get it, folks, that we have been made right with God through our faith in Jesus Christ. because many have tried for years to please God with their works, which was like living on a performance treadmill, always trying to do something to feel good about themselves in their relationship with God. But instead, after time, became weary, worn out, lacking peace and joy, when all that God wanted was for us to believe in Jesus Christ and receive the righteousness that he provided. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, which reads, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." The Amplified Version says it this way: "For our sake he made Christ virtually to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in and through him we might become endowed with, viewed as being in and examples of the righteousness of God, what we ought to be, approved and acceptable and in right relationship with him by his goodness." This is the basis of self-acceptance, knowing that God accepts us through Christ and he sees us as totally righteous. That's what the book says. That doesn't mean that we're not going to sin anymore, or that when we do, we can just kind of dismiss it and wave it off like it doesn't matter, that it's no big deal. No, that it doesn't mean that at all. It just means that God loves us and is really rooting for us while we are on a spiritual journey, while we're in the long-haul process of becoming like Christ. And for some of us that have been around for, I'll just put it, a long time, we're understanding that this is a process that will take us the rest of our life. Now, some of you out there that are grandparents can probably relate to this. Now, some of you know that my wife, Jo, and I have a 2-year-old grandson, Connor. He's a cute little tyke. Ask Grandma, and she'll whip out the pictures in a heartbeat and let you see this fellow. He's cute. But of course, grandparents say this about their grandchildren, don't they? Well, sometimes when he's behaving very sweetly, that we and his parents, that is my son and daughter-in-law, have fun referring to him as Baby Jesus. And then there are those times when he's acting like a typical 2-year-old that we refer to Connor as Baby Zilla. And there are times when I don't particularly like being around Connor when he's behaving like a little Tasmanian terror, which 2-year-olds can, you know, screaming and having a tantrum. But through all that, we still love this little guy with all our heart. And we want to, little by little, help develop into him the right character that he's going to need to succeed in life. The same is true with our Heavenly Father. He doesn't like our wrong attitudes and behavior either. But his love for us is absolutely unshakable. It's unmovable. Romans 5 and verse 8 says that he showed and proved his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, he didn't wait until we were all cleaned up and righteous to send Christ. He sent Christ because he knew that we would never be righteous without him. So when we sin and goof and make mistakes, God has it covered. In 1 John 1 and verse 9, 1 John 1 and verse 9, it says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Well, once we believe that we have been made right with God through Christ, we can begin to move forward in our spiritual walk. And one of the biggest issues for us to understand is that we cannot change ourselves. I think we should realize that by this time. Trying to do this in our own strength and through our own devices will always result in frustration, which to many, and to their sorrow have already discovered. Now, it's not uncommon for people to try and manipulate and control members of their family or with a loved one. And it's often through anger that people get the things that they want. being controlling is a common flaw in people today. And all of us have a certain measure of that in us that we have to deal with. Because you see, we want to control what's going on in our life. But when it comes to spiritual growth, it will only come when we quit fighting God and we're willing to turn our lives over to Him and to tell Him, Father, I just can't do this anymore. I've tried everything that I know to do, and nothing is working in my life. And if there's going to be any change in my life, Father, you're going to have to do it. See, people involved in the AA program learned that early on, that they're powerless over the problem that they have. And once you and I arrive at that point, that we are powerless over our life, and to start trusting Him, then God can begin to go to work in our lives. Now, it's true that we need to work out our own salvation, but Scripture says in Philippians 2 and verse 13, and this is in the Amplified Version, Philippians 2 and verse 13, says, not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating you in you the power and desire both to will and to work for His good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. Well, that's quite an awareness. While we can't change ourselves by the power of our will, we can use our willpower to set time aside to seek and spend time with God. And in this society today, some of you are having difficulty with this. It's so important, brethren, that we don't get caught up in the insane rush and hurry of this world, that we neglect having time with Him each day. We need that quiet time. And during our quiet time in His presence, we need to ask Him to show us and then patiently wait for Him to reveal the things and the thoughts, the attitudes and habits and so forth that need to be changed. And one of the things that sorely needs to changing is the way that we think. Because you see, if Satan can direct our thinking by keeping us buried in our own negative emotions and our negative feelings and reactions, he's got us. And he doesn't have to do anything else. I hope that we can understand that it is in our mind that spiritual warfare is either won or lost. Because, brethren, without a mind change, without getting our thinking straightened out and in sync with God, there will never be a life change. And we need to understand that. And God's Spirit is the only thing that can change us from the inside out and assure us that we can have lasting and permanent change. Romans 12 and verse 2. Romans 12 and verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now I look back, I think a lot of us can look back over the years, and it's been taught that it's paramount that there's always the, you know, prayer, Bible study, and fasting. Now, there's no argument that that is absolutely paramount to do if we are to move spiritually. But I also know and have come to see that there's more to that. And we need to know what that is and put it to work in our lives. But this being transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, we have our work cut out for us. Now, to work out our salvation with trembling and fear requires cooperating with God from the time we accept Christ as our Savior until the day that we will be meeting Him face to face. And to be willing, and that's the catch, to be willing to lay down our lives and allowing Him to purge from us our ungodly traits and work into us the character of Jesus Christ. Now, when we go through the Acts 2 verse 38 process, which you're familiar with, which calls for us to repent, be baptized, and the receiving of the Holy Spirit, we get a new nature. That's God's. Every quality and characteristic that he has is deposited into us at the moment that we have hands laid upon us. Now, this experience is something that we can't see and we can't feel physically. It's because it's in the unseen realm of our spirit that the begettal seed of God is planted. In 1 John 3, verse 9, in the Amplified Version again, it says, "No one begotten of God deliberately practices sin, for God's nature abides in him. His principle of life remains permanently within him, and he cannot practice sin because he is begotten of God." Well, in other words, when we accept Christ as our personal Savior, we receive the ability to bear the fruit of the Spirit, the power to walk in love, to experience his unshakable peace, exercise self-control, and so on. But just as a seed that is planted in the ground requires certain conditions to sprout and to grow, so does this begettal seed of God's nature that we receive at baptism. And it takes time for his character to germinate and to grow in us. Just like a seed needs regular watering and the right soil temperature to break its outer hull and to begin to bear roots downward and to bear fruit upward, the same is true for you and for me. In order for the seed of God that we receive at baptism to grow, we need to be watered daily with God's word. This is our part. And in Ephesians 5 and verse 26, it says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And God will provide just the right temperatures or circumstances that we need to grow. And you know how it is, because sometimes we really need to be squeezed and squeezed hard for us to get our mind in line with his word. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 13. Second Corinthians 3, verse 18. And it says, "And all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured into his very own image in ever-increasing splendor, and from one degree of glory to another, by the Spirit of God." The power to change doesn't come from us, it comes from God. Our responsibility is to regularly get into the Bible and to see what Christ looks like, you know, like a mirror. The scriptures reflect his image, and when we see what he is, we also see what we are not. And that's when you and I need to get into agreement with God and ask him to change us. And he will change us if we are willing to do, again, that is, if we are willing to do whatever he shows us to do. So when you and I began our walk with Christ, whatever, how many years ago that was, all of us very likely spent many hours in the Bible correspondence course. The old time, you remember what it's like. Boy, we burned up the evening hours, stayed up late at night, we wrote out every question, all the answers, and had reams of paper, you know, over this period of time, and learning about God and his ways and his laws and learning how to pray. It was all so new, and it was all so exciting. And it probably, I think, it was for you as well, because I know I can remember the excitement of when we were new, you know, babes in Christ. But most of us had some problems and hang-ups that were plaguing us. And usually, the bigger the problem, the more time it took to change. But little by little, God began to change us as we began to grasp the truth of his word. At first, it seemed as like nothing at all was changing in our life. But in the passing of time, all those little, almost imperceptible changes began to add up, and before long, a visible difference could be seen in our behavior. You know, I can remember, you know, Joe and I came into the church in 61, and I think it was around 1962 or 63, and I was working in a local boatyard, that during the noon break one day, a Russian fellow that worked there. He was a fellow worker that I had known for a long time, and he was one of the fellows that I regularly sat with during lunch. This particular day, he was unusually quiet, which was very unlike him because he was normally a very social, gregarious, and outgoing fellow. And all of a sudden, he grabbed my arm and he says, "Now I know." He says, "You found God." Well, I surely hadn't noticed anything in me. No, I was, seemed like I hadn't changed at all, and quite frankly, I felt about as converted as a jackrabbit. But you know, in this society that we live in today, it doesn't take much of a change to be noticed. You know, if you're not cussing anymore, if you're not smoking, if you're not pulling the rug out from under somebody or sleeping around, you're going to be very conspicuous. So in the passage of time, in our spiritual walk, you and I are growing in our dedication and commitment to God. No matter how bad our behavior may seem at times, if we are committed to God, our lives are slowly being changed into His likeness. Now, you remember the example of Peter. He was quite a fellow. And he wimped out on Christ and denied Him 3 times. But look what God did with him. Made a powerhouse out of that man. Powerful servant. Powerful preacher. There was another one. It was Saul of Tarsus, who felt he was serving God by going around and killing Christians. But God changed him into Paul, a powerful man, a preacher, and the letters that we read in the New Testament constantly. Fantastic, very strong and powerful man. It's amazing what God can do with us if we lay our life down to Him, if we become willing to do what He asks us to do. The longer we've been at this way of life, the more experience we have with God, the more we see how wonderful, how loving and generous and kind that He is. And when this awareness and this understanding comes to us, brethren, the more that we should want to do what He asks us to do. We know that God is not a respecter of persons. His word tells us that, because what He will do for you, He will do for you. And as we go through life, we will sin, we're going to make mistakes. Occasionally, we're going to mess things up royally. And when things like that occur, it's common to get down on ourselves, to beat ourselves up. And I know that some of you are better at that than others are. But rather than get caught up in that type of attitude, we need to start looking at how far that we've come. Look how much you have grown since you have come into God's truth and into His church. We can't afford to continually put ourselves down, brethren. We need to start believing in our mind what God's word says about us. And God isn't mad at us because we're not perfect. He's only disappointed when we give up on our minds and we pack it in, we leave, and quit running the race. That is a huge disappointment to Him. So what we need to do as a family, and that is what we are a family. Oh, we squabble, we complain about one another, but isn't that what we do in families? But that doesn't mean that we don't love one another. But we need to encourage one another to set quiet time aside every day to get alone with God, to meditate on His Word, and to talk to Him about your life, about what's working and about what's not working. And ask Him, why do I feel this way? Why do I feel the way that I do? What is it in my life that I can't see that's holding me down and that I need to deal with right now? And what's my part? What is it that I need to do? And then sit tight, be patient, and listen for His direction. And if there is something that you know that you've done wrong, well, repent and ask God to forgive you and take away the guilt and the shame. And then receive gratefully His forgiveness. And then let it go. Let go of the past. Now everybody remember this. for many of us, it's taken 20, 30, 40 years of living prior to our calling to get into the condition that we're in. You know, when we come into God's truth and into God's church, we pack a lot of garbage with us. And we need to understand that it takes time to turn around and to go in the other direction. So don't be impatient. Don't be impatient with yourself. Don't be impatient with your mate or anybody else here. Just let God take you where you are, where you're walking now, and allow Him to give you His wisdom, His understanding, and His strength to apply His godly principles in your life. Okay, now let's wind this up here now. We've looked at several areas that can contribute to the difficulty some experience in their spiritual walk. One was when we don't have a proper understanding of our righteous identity in Christ. Another is when we fail to realize that we cannot change ourselves, that only God can. And even then, it's only when we're willing. And without a mind change, there can be no life change, because there must be a renewing of the mind. Now, some of you may have a desire to have a more intimate relationship with Christ. If so, I'm putting in a pitch here for a monthly group that we have, like we had this morning, where we are studying on the subject of being transformed through the renewing of the mind. And if there is any of you that might be interested in attending this study, any that are presently in the group would be happy to talk to you. Now, I talked to the folks this morning, and I asked them if they wouldn't mind putting their hand up so that the rest of you could see who they are, because if you look around, you can find somebody that you feel comfortable talking to, and you can check us out. So those of you in the group that were up there this morning, if you feel comfortable putting your hand up, the folks look around, you can talk to these people about what we're doing. Like I told them, I said, we're really not a subversive organization, you know. So if you're interested, find somebody in the study group that, again, that you feel comfortable talking to. And I know that if you get involved in this particular study, that you won't be disappointed. I can guarantee you that. And you'll come to experience peace and a sense of freedom that you have not known before.